Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. GOP presidential pick Donald Trump interviewed at the National Association of Black Journalists Convention in Chicago, saying he would pardon those convicted of assaulting police officers on January 6th and questioning Vice President Kamala Harris's identity. ABC's Rachel Scott asked him the questions on stage and says this morning,
"So I asked the former president directly if he believes that Harris is only on the ticket because she is a black woman. This was only the second question, but it quickly became the headline of the entire forum because Trump started to question Harris's identity. He said that she happened to turn black."
Harris has always identified as black. A day after word came of the assassination of Hamas's political head in Iran, the Israeli military has confirmed that the head of the group's military wing, Mohammed Diaf, was also killed in an airstrike in July in Khan Yunis in Gaza. Defense Department confirming the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and two others have agreed to a plea deal that will spare them from the death penalty. This is ABC News. Parents have begun feeling the pain. The cost of child care up over 200% since 1990. In Washington, there's a new bipartisan push to try to help.
A new proposal in Washington aims to make child care more affordable by retooling existing tax credits.
A lot of low-income families are not paying federal income tax, so the tax credit doesn't help them.
To help working parents. The plan from Senators Tim Kaine of Virginia and Katie Britt of Alabama.
We felt like it was important for us to come together to have a common sense bipartisan solution
would double the amount of expenses that employees can put into pre-tax savings accounts for child care.
That's ABC's Rhiannon Alley. The measure also includes grant money to train more child care workers. The bad patch pushed out by cybersecurity company CrowdStrike that knocked millions of computers offline has now earned the company a lawsuit from some of its own shareholders. The suit accuses CrowdStrike of misleading everyone about how it tests its software. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I'm going to talk about how candy and beer helped me get good at money. I am not even kidding with this one. You may have heard me talk about having a money meeting with yourself. That's what I started doing when I turned my money life around, and it is still how I keep my life on track today. But back when I was starting out, I needed some motivation to show up to those meetings with myself. So I let myself have candy if it was the morning, and, you know, one of my favorite beers if it was sometime o'clock. Knowing that there's a treat coming, if I sit down and look at how I'm doing with my money, that helped get me to the table. They're just little rewards. Swap in whatever it is that motivates you if it's not candy and beer, and schedule that money meeting with yourself if it's not something you're already doing. For more tips on saving more and spending less, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A man who stabbed a teenager to death tubing in the Apple River 2 years ago is going to prison. More from James Kelly.
Nikolai Mew was convicted of first-degree reckless homicide and four counts of recklessly endangering safety following an eight-day trial in St. Croix County. On Wednesday, he was sentenced to serve a total of 20 years in prison and 6 years extended supervision. Mew was arrested following the July 2022 incident where he stabbed five people on the river, killing 17-year-old Isaac Schumann in the process. I'm James Kelly.
Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate plan to stop in western Wisconsin next week. Harris is expected to announce her running mate by Tuesday. That's when they'll be at a rally in Philadelphia. They'll campaign in seven swing states in 4 days after that. That's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Another loss at home for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers scored two runs in the bottom of the first and nothing after that. They lose to the Braves 6-2. It's the fourth straight series loss at home for Milwaukee, still holding on to a five-game lead over St. Louis. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You have to kind of reach down and kind of reassess like where you are personally and not worry about standings and things like that. Worry about playing good.
The Brewers head to Washington to play the Nationals tomorrow night. NFL Packers wide receiver Romeo Dobbs opening some eyes, beating veteran veteran corner Jair Alexander twice for touchdowns. The Wisconsin Badgers continue training camp at UW-Platteville. What's the biggest advantage for head coach Luke Fickell entering year two? Offensive coordinator Phil Longo.
The difference is, though, we have so many people now, so many players in these rooms that know everything. And so the learning curve this year for the new guys is not what it was last year. You know, we still had coaches learning. I mean, I didn't know the restroom was until April.
That's Phil Longo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible today. We'll be in the low, maybe into the mid-80s here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, 66. Tomorrow, sunny and warm with a high in the upper 80s to right around 90. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. We'll go in the pharmacy with Omar the Pharmacist to talk health and wellness. It's one of my favorite segments of the week. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06, and it's August 1st. We've made it to August on this Thursday morning. Another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, over social media, or by podcast, we thank you for getting your day and, hey, your month started with us as well. All right, so if let me ask you a question first. Are you going to the State Fair? The Wisconsin State Fair gets going today in West Allis. I know we talked a lot about the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, and there's the Central Wisconsin State Fair, and all sorts of other county fairs around. But, I mean, this is the one Wisconsin State Fair. Have you been? Are you a cream puff person? What is it you like to do there? So you can give us a call or send us a text. Tell us what's going on at 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-752-4842. You can call or text us through the Civic Media app as well, or put a comment up on social media. Also coming up today, Joe Zepecki will talk about the vibes. There's that word again. Turns out those vibes go both ways in the presidential race, now with Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket. Yes, of course, we will review former President Trump's racist remarks in front of the National Association of Black Journalists, and frankly also add a cautionary tale, not to fall into some of the traps that people like Donald Trump and frankly some of our own friends and neighbors unknowingly might be setting for us. In our second hour, we'll talk to the organizer of an upcoming march to defend democracy, something we never ever thought would be necessary in our lifetimes, defending democracy, and yet here we are. And our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, includes a conversation with legislative candidate Sarah Harrison, and Luke Mathers will be along as well. We'd love to have you join us. I said Luke Mathers will be here. Greg Bach is here now. He's in downtown Waukesha at the studios of WAUK, the Shaw. Mr. Bach, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Yeah.
Okay. Is question though, is this really you? And here, there's a reason why I'm doubting it. I mean, I see you. I think it's okay. But I've been watching the Olympics coverage, and NBC is promoting this kind of podcast thing where Al Michaels will give you updates on whatever sports you choose. And then, of course, in tiny print on the screen, it says that it's AI generated. So it's not actually Al Michaels doing a podcast. It's a computer sounding like Al Michaels reading all the clips that somebody's putting in. I mean, I think we're crossing a threshold here where you don't know if you're actually listening to somebody or a computer that sounds like that person, robot Greg. I mean, Greg.
Why, Pat, how could you ask me such a hurtful and destructive question? Don't you know that we love you?
It's troubling, isn't it? When Bleed you see book. That?
Yeah, I didn't even... I'm so torn on AI because I feel like they're pushing it in our faces. I mean, Keanu Reeves is doing a commercial for AI now.
Really?
Yeah, or maybe it's not him. I don't know. But I'm still fearful of AI. I won't lie.
Well, I think there's every reason, like other changes in technology, although this is a big one. You know, there will be some unbelievable pros to it.
Yeah.
But the cons are really, really troubling. And, you know, I don't have the faith that I used to in my youthful exuberance, you know, that you know, the system or society will try to cut these things off before the harm, you know, gets to do too much damage. But it was only that was the one minor blip in what was otherwise a nice evening of watching Olympic coverage. There was a lot of swimming. Once again, people who are pouring it on at the end of the race, and I just don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
There was an amazing feature piece on the athletes from Ukraine who decided to stay in Ukraine and train because it just sends a message otherwise they feel if they leave the country. And I also have to say, watching the men doing gymnastics, you know, the women get a lion's share of attention.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, it's graceful and everything. But I'm telling you, two particular apparati, there's the, what was it, the pommel horse, which is essentially the guy's equivalent of the balance beam, and the rings.
Yeah.
Now, in both cases, I mean, I have the upper body strength of a box of Cremets Linguini. So, I mean, I'm coming from a place of admiration anyway. But, I mean, even somebody, you know, who is very much in shape, you know, you work out every day and all of that, you'd be absolutely lost trying to do on the rings what these guys do on there. It's just insane and fun to watch, but in a way that's like, oh my gosh, can the human body really do that? Now I feel even more inadequate.
Well, like when you're in your like teens and your 20s and you watch something like that, you're like, I think I could do something like that if I worked out. If I, like, you know, that looks interesting and that looks like a great, like, you know, exercise and whatnot, and not just the pommel horse or the rings. Then you get your 30s, you're like, nah, that might not. I'm not sure. That seems like it. And then by your 40s, you're like, no. Okay. All right. I'm going to go make me a box of Cremet Linguini now. All right.
You know, and we've talked before about how there should be like a normal person in the field always. And sometimes it should be side by side so that while the one guy is working on the rings, you see somebody else just struggling to hold on. Yeah. Just to just hang on to the
shaking arms like, I can do this.
Oh, no, can't even stretch the arms. Just hanging would be the thing. But I did not stay up late enough to watch Katie Ledecky in her big race, in part because the race is 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
You know, it's 30 lengths of the pool. But even then, I did see highlights of the way that she once again just decimated the competition. And some people are just, you know, you look at them and go, how did you get to be this way? You know,
I saw a wonderful piece of just wholesome video on Instagram of this young girl who's in Paris, and she waved to her name, Katie Ledecky. She waved to her and Katie Ledecky waved to her back, and she starts freaking out. She's so excited. I'm like, those are the moments I love, especially about the Olympics and just in life anyways. Like, she was freaking out that this woman waved to her. And I was like, yeah, I love this.
Oh, the kids who get motivated by this, it's just wonderful. And look, we're cynical. Okay, I'm a cynical dope over here. I will all the time talk about, oh, the dreams that are squashed and the kids whose childhoods are taken away, you know, by years of training. And a lot of that stuff, you know, does come to fruition. But I don't forget that now and then there's also these moments of motivation and hope and inspiration. And the whole thing comes with the human experience. It's just that the Olympics kind of, you know, really exacerbates both ends of it, really magnifies both ends of it. And that's what makes it so unusual to watch, and why I think you just kind of feel like for these 2 weeks, everybody just kind of comes together like, okay, we're all sitting on our couches for the next 2 weeks here, you know?
Yeah.
And so I did enjoy that. And we, you know, we still have well over a week to go on that. But I did mention as well, I said just minutes earlier that some people, you just watch them and you go, wow.
Mm.
And that was Donald Trump yesterday. That was Donald Trump at the National Association of Black Journalists conference speaking there. We're going to play the first 2.5 minutes here in just a sec, and then we'll talk much more about it in the next segment. Those of you who've heard a lot of this, apologies. We're going to be a little redundant, but I'm sure there's still some people that are still checking in on this and going, what did he say? What did he say that was so bad? And so I just want you to give a listen to the setup of this. Remember, the National Association of Black Journalists, they've been inviting presidential candidates, you know, for years and years and years. But they didn't have to do this. And there was a lot of turmoil on the inside because he's not just a presidential candidate. He has a record, not just a record in his presidency, but a lifetime record of racist comments and behaviors. And so some people actually quit their membership in protest, but they did invite him. He did appear. Let's play the first 2.5 minutes or so of that.
I want to start by addressing the elephant in the room, sir. A lot of people did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told 4 congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabid to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever been asked a question so in such a horrible manner, a first question. You don't even say, hello, how are you? Are you with ABC? Because I think they're a fake news network, a terrible network. And I think it's disgraceful that I came here in good spirit. I love the black population of this country. I've done so much for the black population of this country. Including employment, including opportunity zones with Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, which is one of the greatest programs ever for black workers and black entrepreneurs. I've done so much, and, you know, and I say this, historically black colleges and universities were out of money, they were stone cold broke, and I saved them, and I gave them long-term financing, and nobody else was doing it. I think it's a very rude introduction. I don't know exactly why you would do something like that. And let me go a step further. I was invited here, and I was told my opponent, whether it was Biden or Kamala, I was told my opponent was going to be here. It turned out my opponent isn't here. You invited me under false pretense. And then you said, you can't do it with Zoom. Well, you know, where's Zoom? She's going to do it with Zoom, and she's not coming. And then you were half an hour late, just so we understand. I have too much respect for you to be late. They couldn't get their equipment working or something
Mr.
was
President,
wrong.
Mr. President, I would love I think if you it's can a answer very the question nasty on your question. Rhetoric well, and why I, you believe I have that black the voters should trust you with another
I have been Let's be clear. He has asked. He's been the best president since Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, that's – look, he answered the question by not answering the question, that when given every opportunity, he will insult and belittle black people or any hostile audience for that matter, but he's never more comfortable than when he's doing so in front of an audience of black Americans. We'll have more to say about that on the other side of this break. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch.
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah, what would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Eagle 1490 AM.
Listen, baby. Ain't no mountain high. Ain't no One of my favorite songs ever is part of today's history lesson because of its appearance in a movie that was released on this day. Details coming up in about 30 minutes. All right, let's get to the heart of former President Trump's appearance before the National Association of Black Journalists Conference in Chicago yesterday. So we've set up the hostility already when he was given a chance from the get-go to address the many ways in which he has made racially charged remarks. And of course, his view as always is to play the victim, is to say, oh, you are nasty people. You're running for president. You have been president. There's no need for niceties here. You're wasting time. Answer the question. Well, it gets even worse when he's asked specifically about the way that he and his allies have talked about Vice President Kamala Harris. So let's go ahead and play that part next, and then we'll talk more about the appearance overall.
Some of your own supporters, including Republicans on Capitol Hill, have labeled Vice President Kamala Harris, who is the first Black and Asian American woman to serve as vice president and be on a major party ticket, as a DEI hire. Is that acceptable language to you? And will you tell those Republicans and those supporters to stop it?
How do you define DEI? Go ahead. How do you define
diversity, equity, inclusion?
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Is that what your definition?
Give me a
definition
then.
Would you give me a definition of that? Give me a definition.
Sir, I'm asking you a question,
a
very direct question.
Define it for me, if you
will. I just defined it, sir. Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a Black woman?
Well, I can say no. I think it's maybe a little bit different. So I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much, and she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was Black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn Black, and now she wants to be known as Black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she Black?
She has always identified as a Black woman.
I respect either one. I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't, because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn, and she went. She became a Black person.
Just to be clear, sir, do
and
you
I
believe
think,
that
I think
she is
somebody should look into that, too, when you ask a continue in a very hostile, nasty tone.
It's a direct question, sir. Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is a DEI hire, as some Republicans
really
have said?
I really don't know. Could be. There are some, and there are plenty. I know this lady right over there, Harris, is a fantastic person who just interviewed me at length. And we had a great interview, I think, and I heard you got very good ratings on that.
Well,
interview.
You told me it was the longest one of your life, so we had a good discussion.
Here at the end from Fox News, who is, again, was once an esteemed journalist. Mother Jones had the perfect headline on this. White man tells Black journalist that his Black opponent is not Black. And actually, before I rant on and on, poor Greg has to listen to these things, put his head in his hands, and measure his words probably more carefully than I have to because I'm old and cranky and don't care to. Greg, when a white man tells Black journalists that his Black opponent is not Black, and I don't remember Kamala Harris ever claiming to, you know, just be Asian or Indian or anything like that, where do you go from here on that?
I don't really know, because I am as angry. I thought at first I didn't think it was funny. Haha.
No.
I thought it was like,
no.
Oh my God, this is a meltdown of epic proportion. Mm. And then the thing that really struck me is when Kamala Harris came out with a response, it was like, I think like, oh well, let's keep going. We got to keep working.
Well, yeah.
And
what
it made me so angry on behalf of her, because I'm sure inside she has these thoughts and she has her own emotions over being told on a national stage by a former president, oh, now she, like, questioning her culture, her heritage, her race, everything. But if she were to come out and be as mad as she maybe want to, then that hurts her.
Even a percentage of it, she would be the one. And in fact, I think what captures it best is a headline in the Washington Post. It says, Harris faces a pivotal moment as Trump questions her identity. Harris faces a pivotal moment as Trump questions her identity. That's what this always comes back to. Let's understand something here, folks. Donald Trump got exactly what he wanted out of that combative session. He wanted to say racist and all but racist things because he wasn't trying to win over the people in that room. Like that very first question said, hey, you want to win over this room? What is it that you want to say for yourself? He wasn't trying to win over the room. He wanted the murmurs and the groans. He wanted to let his base, a good number of people with a flawed moral compass, believe that, see, he hadn't forgotten about them. He was still capable of doing the thing they wanted him to do. Play the race card in a room full of, as they would say, you know, those people. And get away with it. He got away with it. He got away unscathed. He got to play the victim once more. And J.D. Vance only doubled down on the racism, asked if he questions Kamala Harris's racial identity. Vance tried portraying the vice president as a chameleon, saying, what I question is why she presents a different posture depending on which audience that she's in front of, he said, quite insultingly. Vance accused Harris of using a Southern accent and referred to her teenage years living in Canada. Vance said, Kamala Harris grew up in Canada. They don't talk like that in Vancouver or Quebec or wherever she came from. Emphasis his. Let's be clear. Kamala Harris was born in Oakland, California. Moved to Canada when she was 12. She lived in Madison around the age of 5 for a short time. But she doesn't say use guys. Does that mean that we get to, you know, question her upbringing as well? Question her race, question her identity, because you don't like the way that she's talking? We need the media to understand something that was posted by Jennifer Rubin. She said, media, this is a test. Will you keep Trump's racism on page one for the next 3 weeks? Demand that he exit the race. Press every Republican to comment on it. Consult African-American studies experts. Talk to communities of color. You know, do your job on this as resolutely as you did on Biden's age. Because the two are equally important. Each one talks about the measure in which you would be the leader of the free world and whether you are morally up to the challenge or not. But more importantly, for all of us, this is an inflection point. There is a very successful and funny string of ads from Geico, all about people becoming their parents. And don't become your parents. Don't do the funny and goofy things, you know, that they show in the commercial. But it's a test for all of us who have watched maybe the uncle at Thanksgiving dinner or other people in your family or, frankly, other neighbors and friends who are going to do exactly what Trump wants them to do. You're going to ask them, this is going to come up in conversation, and they're going to make Trump out to be the victim on this, saying, well, why were they hostile to him without either knowing or appreciating his record? Because again, a lifetime of whiteness prevents some people from understanding that, yeah, your life is hard. Think how much harder it would be if people were treating you differently for the color of your skin. Don't become that uncle. Don't become that person who you love, but you understand how flawed they are. And those flaws are real. Those flaws are insulting and offensive. And there's no excuse for them, especially when we get to the ballot box. Joe Zepecki is next. You're up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Thursday morning. The cherry harvest is underway in Door County. We're checking in with Jim Sequist of Sequist Orchard in Door County. His family's cherry orchard manages about 170,000 trees across 1,300 acres. And despite some early weather challenges, Jim says they are expecting a bumper crop. But like many growers, he would like to see a break from the rain. He tells us what the perfect forecast looks like for a cherry grower.
We'd love to see 5 to under 10 mile an hour winds every day, nice and cool and dry air. And I think we've had enough rain to get us all the way through harvest. It could not rain anymore and we would be just fine. And then we get a nice shower about August 15th and... But it looks like it's going to warm up and be warmer. It does look like the rain might start to dissipate, but we're supposed to get 3/4 of an inch on Friday, and we'll just try and deal with that the best we can.
Jim Sequist is a cherry grower in Door County, looking forward to a dry forecast as they continue the harvest. We'll take a look at what commodity markets are doing this morning next.
Keeping Wisconsin strong. All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Voice for farmers,
a vision for agriculture,
Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
As a member, I have had the opportunity to grow personally and professionally through valuable programming. Learning opportunities like Farm Bureau's Leadership Institute and Grassroots Policy Process have set me up to succeed both on and off the farm. Become a member by visiting WFBF.com.
A vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
From Chicago, commodity markets are mixed. To kick off the month of August, cash corn down a half a penny at 382 and a quarter. December new crop corn down 0.75 cents at 399 a bushel. Cash soybeans are trading up 2.5 cents at 1031 a bushel. November new crop beans down 2.5 cents at 1020 a bushel. And cash and new crop wheat is trading up 2.5 cents at 529 and 0.75. The August Class 3 milk contract is trading down 18 cents at $20.53 a hundredweight. The September Class 3 milk contract is down 4 cents at $21.21 a hundredweight. If we look ahead to October, that contract is sitting neutral at $21.12. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible today. We'll be in the low, maybe into the mid-80s here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, 66. Tomorrow, sunny and warm with a high in the upper 80s to right around 90. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I was in a drive-thru line and forgot to order. I was on the phone, thought I ordered, and just stayed in line and got up to the window. There was no order for me. And I said to the guy, I go, can I just order now? And he was so condescending. And he goes, well, typically what we do, sir, here is we order back at the speaker, and this is where you pick it up. I've never felt so stupid in my entire life.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talked to the Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County. They got a special deal going on. Sports with Paul Noonan and Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome to At the Movies with Joe Zepecki. It's Thursday morning, 6:34, here on Up North News Radio. Sure, we'll talk politics too, but as you heard from Melissa Baldoff yesterday, when we talked about the movie Twisters and the role of climate, she let slip that that her partner in crime had seen the summer blockbuster, and so we thought we'd start with a review. Joe Zepecki, hello, how are you? How's the popcorn?
Hey, I'm not a popcorn guy at the movies. I'm one of those sociopaths who just sits down without anything to drink or eat and enjoys the movie. And went to two movies last week. I saw both Twisters and Deadpool and Wolverine. Twisters, though, is the one you're asking about. And I would say that Twisters is the big, goofy, lovable Labrador Retriever dog of the summer at the movies, which is... It's hard not to enjoy and have a good time, but no one is confusing this with Citizen Kane or high cinema, okay. As it were.
Got it. Well, hey, while you're here, Deadpool.
Oh, Deadpool was a lot of fun. I'm not sure it fixes all of the concerns people have had with the Marvel comic universe, but it is a darn good time at the movie. If you can't have fun watching Deadpool and Wolverine, then you're just not a comic book superhero person. And, that, you know, there are people like that. But if you're into that kind of stuff, if you enjoyed the other Deadpool movies or any of the Wolverine appearances in the 9 X-Men films he was in, you will have a good time watching that movie.
Good, good. And, of course, if we're going to talk about entertainment and distractions from what has been such a year in politics, let's hit the Olympics while we're at it. Are you watching any of that? Anything in particular that caught your eye, or are you not an Olympic spectator?
We have seen a little rugby, a little swimming, a little gymnastics. I watched a little archery and trap shooting yesterday. So, we're tuning in. I wouldn't describe us as rabid fans of the Olympics, but we are certainly patriots who love America and want to see our athletes do really, really well. And I love the spirit of the Olympic Games. I also, what I've missed and I'm hoping to see more of is a little bit more conversation about the geopolitical state of the world and what Russia is doing and how this is the very best of humanity when we can come together in competition. And the very worst of humanity is what's happening in Ukraine right now, because Vladimir Putin is a dictator and a thug and believes that the international order and rules don't apply to him. And unfortunately, you have a growing number of isolationist Republicans in America who are just fine with that. You know, J.D. Vance is having a lot of problems in his VP rollout. And one, not even that high on the list, is the fact that he is one of the most staunch anti-Ukraine members of the United States Senate. So I'd like to see a little bit more politics with my Olympics, but that might just be the way I'm broken.
It could very well be. But look, if somebody's going to be a pro-Putin puppet, you know, at least he's committing. Trump didn't pick anybody that was maybe going to balance out the ticket and not be as much a puppet as he is. But he clearly found a mini-me in that respect. So we've talked about a lot of the summer blockbusters, but perhaps none had the plot twist of a sitting president deciding in July that he was not going to run for another term. And here's the thing. You never know when something that you've criticized is going to come back and now you might embrace it. In this case, it's the word vibe. I've been talking about the vibe election and people with the vibe about the economy. And vibe is no way to pick a president, ladies and gentlemen. But in the case of this past week and a half or so, this has really been giving off a vibe. I'm looking at focus group interviews from, you know, progressive voters, and they and a lot of independent voters, they just have a different feeling about it all. Doesn't mean anything about the outcome, but there is definitely a different feeling. What us old people call vibe, what you would call vibe.
Yeah, no, the vibe the vibe has shifted. And as I've thought about these last 10 days or so, what occurs to me is that even people like Nikki Haley, who in February of this year said that either whichever political party figures out how to move on from their old guy first will win the election, turns out to sound awfully prescient. Because I think even somebody like Nikki Haley, who said that, probably undersold the degree to which the American people are desperate to turn the page and move forward. No one wanted a rematch from 4 years ago, which happened to occur during a global pandemic that was miserable and traumatic and awful. And thank goodness for the leadership of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to get us to a place where we can say, you know what, that's in the past. Now let's really move beyond it in our politics as well and usher in a new generation of leaders. I think that there was a slumbering giant, a silent majority, if you will, just desperate for change. And they are seeing Kamala Harris meet the moment, check the boxes. She is credible. She is serious. She can do the job on day one and is taking the fight to Donald Trump in a way that may allow us to really turn the page, to close the chapter of Donald Trump after, what's it been now? 2015, when he came down that elevator? It's been almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. Let's be done with this. And that, I think, is part of what you're seeing in the vibe shift and the incredible outpouring of support and enthusiasm for Kamala Harris, not just from Democrats, but from independents, from never Trumpers, from once Trumpers, never again Trumpers. You name it, people are viewing this as a breath of fresh air, and that's pretty exciting to watch.
And now what I'm going to say is just wildly speculative, but when you think about, could a similar vibe shift have happened on the Republican side? The answer is yes, but it would have been in such an unusual, unthinkable way. It's that Donald Trump, for whatever reason, made his own decision to step back and said, look, Nikki Haley and I don't agree on everything, but I endorse her. I think she's the best one to go forward. Joe, I think if you could somehow envision that happening, we'd be having the same conversation, but saying, look at all these people who were independent or lean Republican, and my goodness, are they excited now for the choice on the right? Again, it's not going to happen, but it could have in some parallel universe.
Well, but the Republican Party has been completely captured by the MAGA wing and by Donald Trump. And that's why it was never going to happen, because even if it wasn't Donald Trump, it would have been, as you put it, when it comes to J.D. Vance, another mini me. They still are the party of Project 2025. They still are the party that ripped away a constitutionally protected right for women in this country for half a century in the Dobbs decision. That they weren't going to be able to run away from. And I think that the biggest demographic group and the one that this all could come down to are the youngest Americans, those voters between the age of 18 and 30, 35. They are, I think, going to show out in record numbers and really change the dynamics of this election. And if it hadn't been Donald Trump, I'm not sure that you could say the same thing. I think Kamala Harris and the vibes and the online, you know, nature of our lived experience right now, this is just like a lightning in a bottle moment. And, you know, listen, we've got 95-ish days to go. That's a long time. If the last 10 days have taught us anything, it's 95 days could well be an eternity. Yep. But we are where we are, and Donald Trump ain't going anywhere, except no. Maybe, you know, to get a talking to from some folks who thought that he could improve his vote share among African-American voters in this country based on his appearance at the National Association of Black Journalists yesterday.
Oh, boy.
I'm not so sure that's going to fly anymore.
No. I don't think he necessarily cared one way or the other. I think he would have been just fine to look more contentious. Again, just looking to rile up his base. He's not looking to grow it at all. And in that sense, I guess I would I'd say mission accomplished. So Kamala Harris instead will pick a running mate, perhaps this weekend, and travel to, among other places, Western Wisconsin, which I always have to kind of chuckle, because they can't necessarily commit. It might be Eau Claire, it might be La Crosse, it might be Hudson, it might be something, you know, completely could be Chippewa Falls. Who knows? I wouldn't put money on that one. But the point being, they know about how important not just the Wisconsin vote is, but that the Wisconsin suburban vote, the suburban Twin Cities, suburban Milwaukee, Green Bay and Madison to an extent as well, right?
Yeah. And listen, it's not just Western Wisconsin that matters. The ticket on the Democratic side is going to hit 7 battleground states in 4 days. That's going to be more rallies than Donald Trump does in a month at this point. And it's showing how serious they are taking it. They are showing how wide the battleground has become. You know, this had, for a while when it was Trump v. Biden, this was really down to three states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Now there's multiple paths, other states available to Kamala Harris and whoever she chooses. North Carolina, the latest place where the Trump campaign has had to go back up on TV. Atlanta, Georgia showed out for Kamala Harris a couple days ago with one of the biggest rally of the election cycle. I think Georgia is very much in play. Arizona and Nevada. It's hard to overstate how much the dynamics have shifted in the last 10 days.
And it won't be, by the way, won't be the last time that they're out here as well. No. I wanted to just touch briefly on a story this week in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about folks on French Island near La Crosse, and that they've now been drinking bottled water for 3 years because of PFAS. Firefighting foam was used extensively in that area for airport training. The water is contaminated. And anybody who is a regular listener of this program is going to say, there he goes again. But here is where I go again, because I don't want anybody for a moment forgetting that Republican legislators are still sitting on $125 million and would rather leave water contaminated now for over a year than do anything about it. So, I mean, kudos to the Journal Sentinel for sharing their plight, and they talk about how they feel forgotten, but that still doesn't make it any easier to accept that we have lawmakers that would let this problem fester.
One of the great ironies of our politics in this moment is that Republicans want you to believe that they are the party of the forgotten people, that folks in small towns and rural communities who have been left behind by a changing global economy, by some cultural evolutions and what I would call steps forward in the last 20 years, that they want you to believe that they are the party that hears the plight of those small towns and of those voters and Americans. I don't know how you reconcile the talk with their failure to walk the walk here. This is not complicated. Release the dang money. You've already appropriated it. The governor's ready to spend it. It defies comprehension or logic that they refuse to get this done. And you know who's not saying, there he goes again? The people who have been drinking bottled water for 3 years.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I think maybe I bring it up so often because I'm trying to will something to fruition. And that would be more public messaging about it. Because otherwise, I thoroughly envision Republican ads this fall saying, you know, that those big bad Democrats are keeping you from spending, you know, the money for contaminated water, and that the real story isn't going to get out. So I apologize if I'm filibustering on that topic again, but I knew I'd find a friendly voice on that one. I'm going to wrap up with the primaries that are coming up. In this case, the 3rd Congressional District, there's a Democratic primary, three candidates there. And it's not hard to predict that these races start to get contentious at the end. And so I figured somebody in your position would maybe let us know what is the right path forward after the primary election when one of those Democrats wins and two of those Democrats and their very dedicated supporters come out on the losing end.
Well, I'd just say we got to keep eyes on the prize. You know, Derek Van Orden has not been a good congressman. He does not match the district. He has been a source of, very, frankly, strange behavior. You know, we've heard a lot in the last week or so about how weird Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are. Mm-hmm. Derek Van Orden's pretty weird, too. Screaming at kids in the Capitol, yelling at teenagers behind the desk at a local library. I mean, he is not reflective of what I know, certainly, of Western Wisconsin. And so whoever the nominee is, they're going to have to bring everybody together. And I would just caution all of the candidates to eyes on the prize. The objective here is to defeat Derek Van Orden, not to win a primary.
Exactly. And there will be time for second guessing, you know, later. But right now, November is just too important ahead of us. Joe Specky, thanks for the movie reviews, the news reviews as well. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good.
More after this. You're up, Norm.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Sorry, thought it was participation time. The movie Guardians of the Galaxy opened on this day in 2014. 10 years. How's it been 10 years already since Guardians of the Galaxy first popped up?
Oh, my God. I remember going to see that movie in the theater and just being like, this is amazing.
It was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Took all these great songs from my childhood and gave them new life, one from Redbone, and we'll play Blue Sweet a little bit later on, and we heard Tammy Terrell and Marvin Gaye a little bit earlier. Just such a great soundtrack.
Yeah.
Just so nice. Yeah. Hey, before I go on with today's history lesson, a quick follow-up to what Joe and I were talking about earlier. We now know that Vice President Kamala Harris has picked the Western Wisconsin location, at least the city. It'll be in Eau Claire. So Kamala Harris and her yet-to-be-named running mate will be in Eau Claire next Wednesday. Birthdays today include, of course, the late, great Jerry Garcia from the Grateful Dead. He was born 82 years ago today. He passed away way back in 1995 now. Joe Elliott, the lead vocalist for Def Leppard, is 65 years old today. I realize I didn't put that one in my notes quite right. Did you have a little Def Leppard queued up there, or no? If you don't, that's fine.
No, you had it right. It's right there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Joe Elliott. So he was probably, what, about 25 when he recorded that. So he may not sing it quite the same way at age 65, but happy birthday to him. Chuck D is 64 today from Public Enemy.
Heck yeah.
Coolio was born this day 61 years ago, but passed away 2 years ago. Actor Jason Momoa is 45 years old today. It is. This little
Jason
segment just
Momoa
kills us a little
younger
bit, doesn't
than
it?
Me. Jason Momoa is younger than me, Pat. Okay, that doesn't feel good.
No. It's a big day for music in terms of MTV. This is their anniversary. Kids, once upon a time, MTV played music, and it all started with this video by the Buggles. So nobody had heard about that song. It was just a proper video kickoff to MTV. The actual number one song this day in 1981 was by an actor on a soap opera, but he'd later be known more for his singing chops, and that, of course, would be Rick Springfield.
Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine.
Sad bit of history today. On this day in 2007, 17 years ago now, since the I-35W bridge over the Mississippi River in downtown Minneapolis collapsed during the evening rush hour, 145 people injured, 13 killed in that tragedy. It was on this day in 1971 that George Harrison hosted the Concert for Bangladesh, the first major charity concert, kind of a precursor to Live Aid. Guests included Bob Dylan, Eric Clapton, Billy Preston, Ringo Starr, many more. Here was George Harrison live at the concert with one of his biggest hits.
My sweet love. He was 28 when this happened.
Was he really?
Wow. He was the young Beatle.
Yes, that's right. All right, on the calendar today, it's August 1st, so we got a whole bunch of new months to tell you about. But first, in terms of the days, today is National Girlfriend Day. And I think that's meant from, like, you know, girlfriend, girl to girl, not like wives and girlfriends. I could be wrong. It's Women Astronomers Day. It's National Spider-Man Day. I'm not sure why. I don't know if Spider-Man had a birthday on August 1st or what. This is National Bike to Work Day. Greg, did you bike up from Kenosha to West Allis today?
Yeah, totally, Pat.
Yeah, right. It's National Startup Business Day. It's National India Pale Ale Day. So you know what to do with that IPA to celebrate properly. Open the bottle. Pour it down the drain. There you go. It's National. Oh God, come on. It's National Raspberry Cream Pie Day. Now, I don't know if Raspberry Cream Pie Day is the same as Raspberry Cream Cheese Pie, but I'm telling you, the Raspberry Cream Cheese Pie that we get up here. Oh my goodness.
Hey Pat, you're coming to visit Milwaukee in a couple weeks, aren't you? Huh, buddy?
Saying maybe I should bring along some raspberry cream cheese pie. I could do that. This is World Lung Cancer Day. This is World Wide Web Day, apparently a day to commemorate the internet, which, you know, 25 years ago seemed like a miracle at the time. And now it's just kind of like, is it as equally good as it is equally bad? I don't know. Hard to say some days.
Yeah.
Today is International Child Free Day, J.D. Vance. Just thought I'd let you know. It's celebrated every year on August 1st to understand and support couples who have decided not to have children, even though couples still all over the world face criticism, rejection, and occasionally rage from other people when they decide to remain child free. Mm-hmm. J.D. Vance. Let's see. This is National Wellness Month. This is National Black Business Month, National Breastfeeding Month, National Eye Exam Month. Greg, it is no longer Lasagna Awareness Month. We have something new and arguably better to celebrate. The month of August is National Sandwich Month. I could do a month of, you know, every day, a different sandwich every day. So every day we will name a favorite sandwich.
Okay.
And I'm just going to start with the basic, peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, okay.
So if you're doing a calendar, very basic, August 1st of National Sandwich Month, peanut butter and jelly. So y'all come up with your favorites and share them along the way. You can share them in the comment sections on Facebook, or you can disagree like poor Kevin does on Facebook saying, I love IPA.
That's,
I know, and a lot of people do. People drink a gallon of 10W30, you know, before they put it in their car. It's what different strokes for different folks, right?
Okay, Mr. Hater Pants. the thing is with IPA, Kevin, it makes people like very like it's, you can really taste the oak. It's like, all right, just, yes, can I just drink it? It's really just approachable.
Just drink your beer, right? Kevin does quickly add in on Facebook for his nomination for Sandwich the Cubano. And
yes.
Tony up in Ashland, your classic club sandwich. So all of those, very worthwhile. We've got quite a few comments coming in today on various issues. So when we come back, we're going to open up the mailbag and talk a bit about some of the comments that have come in, both on Facebook and also on the text line as well. We're going to talk to the organizer of a March for Democracy that's coming up in Madison. And then we'll have our Women Win Wisconsin segment, Sarah Harrison, assembly candidate, coming up in the second hour of Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Key and Peele writer Rich Tellerico, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot talks Twisters, and the Wisconsin Film Festival's Ben Reiser joins the show to talk film.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Why choose the water park capital of the world for a grown-up getaway? It's all there. Entertainment is there.
Nightlife is there. Shopping, spas, and wineries are there. Been there, done that? More like been there, still haven't done that, that, or that. Golf? Hey, nice swing you got there. Dining? You'll be seated right over there. Ziplining? Hang in there! See what I did there? Wisconsin Dells. See you there. Go to wisdells.com and start planning your grown-up getaway today.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.